Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got a lot to get to coming up today here on the show. John Glennon joins us at 7:45 from Broadway Sports. We'll get into the latest with the Titans and the Nashville Predators with him. Charles Robinson at 9 o'clock and then Chris Mason at 9:30. So a busy show today in Joe Rex Road.
One thing I want to say.
Uh-oh.
Are you a campfire? Because you're hot and I want some more.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
I have a new pickup line every segment today, folks. All the ones I wish I would have said over the years.
We're very much looking forward to that. And as Joe said, we're taking your best pickup lines all show long on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 as a part of Love Week. Here on Robbie and Rex Road, you'll have your chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card if your submission is the best. So make sure that you're coming up with some good pickup lines that you've either used or that you've heard before. Joe, we are going through the position groups for the Titans this week and handing out some grades. Yesterday, we did the wide receivers and the tight end room. Today, switching to the other side of the ball and going to the secondary. We're going to start the conversation with the cornerbacks. We'll get to the safeties coming up in next segment. But with the cornerbacks, let's start with Malcolm Butler. Now, you made the claim earlier in the season that Malcolm Butler was playing at a Pro Bowl level. And you look at the defense as a whole, obviously, not a whole lot of bright spots on that defense last year for the Tennessee Titans. But I did think Malcolm Butler played pretty well, given the circumstances surrounding him. So as you look at Malcolm Butler and the way he played coming back from injury and playing in every game this year for the Tennessee Titans, how do you rank Malcolm Butler? What would your grade for his season be?
I would give Malcolm Butler in the final analysis, well, it's so hard to give a good grade to anyone part of that pass defense, you know, but I think he gets the best grade, and I would give him a B. I think he was a B player in the final analysis. He had a couple bad weeks, but he took on some matchups and did tremendously well with them. And he fought, he battled. You know, it's like with Butler, and he's really interesting moving forward. He's a really interesting question moving forward. And it's kind of, to me, it's almost, you can almost look at it like Butler or King. Who do you prefer? Because Christian Fulton has to be part of your plan as a second round pick, and with the reality of the salary cap, like you have to change out and bring in young guys you draft high to have prominent roles. It's hard for me to imagine they'd have both those guys. Regardless, that's a different discussion. I'm going to go B for Butler.
I'm going to go B plus. I thought he played pretty consistently well all season long. And let's be honest, there was a point in the season where, especially when Jonathan Joseph was here, teams really looked at the Titans defense and said, all right, we're not really going to throw towards Malcolm Butler's side of the field. We'll just throw to where Jonathan Joseph is. And they did so with great success. In the Pittsburgh game, the Cincinnati game, there are a lot of different examples you could point to this year where teams just avoided Malcolm Butler because they didn't need to go throw towards Malcolm Butler in those games. So, like, I think back to the Minnesota game. It did not go well for Malcolm Butler in that game against Justin Jefferson. It didn't really matter who Jefferson was matched up against in that game. He played very well in that game. But that's really the one game where I think you look at it and say, ooh, that was rough from Malcolm Butler. He had some moments in other games. I thought that was the only game where he was pretty consistently bad from start to finish. Other than that, I thought he played pretty well. I mean, I know it's the Bears offense, and they are not good. I thought he did a great job on Allen Robinson
in that game.
So my grade for Malcolm Butler is a B+. And as you said, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with him as they move forward here, because I think they're going to have some decisions to make in the secondary coming up, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in this hour. You brought up Christian Fulton. Let's talk about him, because it's an interesting point in terms of injuries were a big part of his story this year. He did see some action on the field, I think very mixed results on the field. How would you grade Christian Fulton in his rookie season?
Okay, so we're grading Fulton and Adoree?
Yeah.
Because I could make a case to put incompletes on both of them. But if I have to grade Fulton in the brief action we saw from him, I'd give him a C. And again, we kind of established yesterday, you're going relative to expectations.
Right.
So on one hand, second round pick. On the other hand, all the lost time in the offseason that all rookies had to deal with, plus his own health issues. I think when he played, he showed some good things, and then he looked like a rookie at times, and overall was not a very impactful player. So average, C, certainly not anything. I don't think we saw anything where you're like, oh, here, watch out for this guy. But
yeah.
I also don't think you saw anything that made you say, oh, they missed here. I mean, we'll see. He needs a good offseason, health, and I think they have to have him in a prominent role. If they don't,
yeah,
that tells you that they have some red flags. But, I mean, the way that this team is built, he has to have a prominent role moving forward.
He does, and he's a second-round pick. And part of that is, I mean, I hear C. I have to go C-minus just based on your second-round pick. I don't think you got anywhere near the production out of him that you wanted heading into the season. Now, a lot of that is injuries, but I think, you know, the play to start with, you could tell Mike Vrabel thought he had some ways to go in this season. I mean, he never directly like talks about players, but just when he would be asked about Christian Fulton, number one, he would talk about his availability, but number two, he'd be like, you know, Christian's got some work to do, way to go. And it's just one of those things. I think Christian Fulton, I would give him a C-. I am very interested to see if he can stay healthy. What does he look like? Is he better served in the slot? Is he better served on the outside? That's going to be a question the Titans have to figure out as they move forward as well. Speaking of,
and
in
that
the slot,
has to do with the question of King and Butler,
it
too.
It does. It absolutely does. And speaking of that, Desmond King. John Robinson goes out and makes a trade in the middle of the season. They bring in Desmond King. How would you grade Desmond King and his performance this year?
Early on, I really liked what I saw, and later on, less so. Like, after watching him, I think he's good, and I think you really have to make the, you know, you have to really think hard about signing him. He also had some bad moments in Houston in particular. He had some real bad moments there. You know, is it now, you also, when you're taking this grade into account, you're talking about a prominent player in this league who has been very good, who has been to a Pro Bowl. So expectations are high. Also coming in cold to a new defense and a defense that's bad. I'd give him a C plus B minus range for him, because expectations are high for him. But that's a C plus, and still a guy I think you can definitely make a case for signing.
Yeah, I would agree. I would go C plus as well. One of the parts about Desmond King that I didn't like, it seemed like he got into penalty trouble. I mean, he was very handsy, illegal contact, holding defensively. That was a consistent theme with him when he came here. Now, you know, the Chicago game, makes a huge play, picks up the fumble, scores a touchdown. I thought he had some good moments, and I thought they were better with him than without him, especially, I mean, you're talking about a slot position they were trying to figure out all season long. They moved Chris Jackson in there. You know, Christian Fulton was in there at times. And I think he came in and kind of stabilized that to a certain degree. So I think you got to like that part of it, but I would go right around a C with him as well. Adoree Jackson. It's very difficult to grade because he missed the majority of the season. He did come back and, quite frankly, looked bad at times. How much of that is him as a player? How much of that is the injury and the time that he missed? I don't know. How would you go about answering that question and grading Adoree Jackson?
Well, I mean, look, if we're just grading, it's kind of like Desmond King. I think Adoree Jackson has high value. I think that a lot of what we saw probably had a lot to do with a knee injury that kept him out most of the year, all that stuff. That said, if you're just grading what he did on the field, I'd give him a C-. I don't think he's very good at all. And he's got to be a lot better than that next year. I also certainly would not rule him out from being better than that with, again, a full, healthy offseason. I thought Adoree Jackson took another step as a player in 2019 and was very good.
Yeah.
I mean, again, that was a pretty good defense that didn't have Butler down the stretch, had other injuries, got Tremaine Brock out there. Adoree Jackson held up really well. I think, you know, the Titans should feel good about him moving forward, but in this limited action, it wasn't very good.
And then the last guy I want to get to in the cornerback section of this, Chris Jackson. He's a guy, obviously, very low expectations, a seventh-round pick. I thought he came in, gave him some good minutes early on. Now, obviously, I mean, from a talent perspective, he's not to the level of Butler and, you know, King and Adoree Jackson out there. I did think he had some good moments, though, especially given where he was selected in the draft. What did you think of Chris Jackson?
Yeah, so, you again, on a curve relative to expectations and ahead of Fulton when the season started, did some good things and then got exposed some. I mean, I'd give him a C. I think he was, he was average overall. And, again, seventh-round picks often don't make teams, so you could say he exceeded expectations, but I'd give him a C. So we're sparing Jonathan Joseph. We're not.
Well, he did not finish the season, but if you want to grade Jonathan Joseph, you go right ahead.
If anybody wants to grade him F minus, 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 go ahead.
Yeah, I will certainly allow
pile
that.
Pile on. We haven't piled on Jonathan Joseph.
I was going to leave him alone. We did that for a long time, and he didn't finish the season with the team. But, yeah, I think Jonathan Joseph, F.
I was going to be nice and give him like a D.
Oh, were you? Okay.
Because really? He was thrown into a situation that he was not signed for.
That's true.
He was not signed to be one of the top two corners like he was in the first, you know, however many weeks before he got cut.
Yeah, he was. He was signed just to be a depth guy, a veteran depth guy who Jadeveon Clowney likes. So that's true.
Maybe that adds to the F. Maybe that's why G. Clowney ended up here. He really likes Desper.
That's true. The fact that Jonathan Joseph. Yeah, he resulted in Clowney being here gives him the minus on the F.
Ugh, tough grading curve for Jonathan Joseph. When we come back, we'll switch gears and move into the safety portion of this discussion. What do we think of that position group with the Titans over this past year? What grades would we give Kevin Byard, Kenny Vaccaro, and the safeties for the Tennessee Titans? That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you're tuning in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We struck out yesterday on Preds Pick to Click, but we'll see if we can hit today at 8:45. The listeners and Joe Rex Road off to a great start.
Excuse me, miss. Hi. I think you're suffering from a lack of vitamin me.
Oh, good. That's a good one. They're getting better with each segment.
By the way, I'm stealing these all off scarymommy.com, which I've never heard of. It'll probably give my computer a total virus, but it's worth it. These are great.
Never heard of that website.
Some of them are not safe for radio.
The T on your keyboard will be the least of your worries if you stay on Scary Mama for too long.
You see how... Now I have my alternative keyboard still on top of the actual keyboard.
Taking your best pickup lines all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We've had some good ones so far. We'll read some of those off a little bit later in the show. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, going through the secondary for the Titans right now and handing out our grades for this past season. We just went through the corners. Now time for the safeties. And I think this is going to be a very interesting discussion. Obviously, some high-profile players involved for the Titans in their safety room. Let's start with Kenny Vaccaro. As you evaluate Kenny Vaccaro and the season he had for the Titans, what would your grade be?
He's a tough one.
He is.
Because I think late in the season, certainly there were some bad moments for him. I kind of put him in the Butler category of one of the few guys in the overall universe of Titans pass defense, and I thought played pretty well this year. I thought he had some really good games. And again, he had some rough moments more as we got to the, late in the season and in the playoff game. Expectations are high for him. Expectations for that safety combo were very high. I'm going to give him a C+, and that's a late drop.
So just later in the season that grade went down. So where was he? B minus?
I think he was playing that B level a lot of the year. And again, that's relative to you thought when you looked at this defense going into the season that if you were grading the units compared to the rest of the NFL, that they had A safeties, A inside linebackers.
Yeah.
Neither turned out to be the case.
That is true. I mean, Kenny Vaccaro, like I said, he's one of those guys that I think the expectations were high. One of the great signings that John Robinson has made. I mean, thinking about him coming from New Orleans and fitting into that role here where Jonathan Cyprien was supposed to be that guy and Kenny Vaccaro comes in and actually was that guy and I think has played pretty well for the most part. I thought he was fine this year. I didn't think he was outstanding. I didn't think he was really bad. I'd give him a C for his play this year. Like, I thought he had his moments where he made some plays. I thought, just like a lot of other players on this defense, there were some times where you looked at him and said, ooh, that was rough. I don't know what Kenny Vaccaro was trying to do there. But when you're listing off problems of this defense, like, Kenny Vaccaro's not high on the list to me, but I thought he was average this year. And how much of that has to do with what was going on in front of him? I think that's an interesting question that we're going to discuss with a lot of these players here in the grade part, of, especially here in the secondary on defense. But Kenny Vaccaro, I would give a C to, and I think it's going to be fascinating to see what they do with him. We've heard Corey Curtis talk about maybe Vaccaro's a guy you have to move on from just based on the numbers and the salary cap and all those different things. So we'll talk about that coming up in the next segment. Some decisions to make for the Titans potentially in their secondary. Let's move to Kevin Byard, a very hot topic all season long for the Tennessee Titans. Kevin Byard has been an all-pro level player for the Titans in his career. He has been one of the best draft picks the Titans have had in the history of their franchise, especially over the course of the last 5 years. Based on the expectations coming in and the production that we've seen from Kevin Byard, it was not a typical Kevin Byard year this year. How would you go about grading him?
Yeah, and again, it's not just, I know, you know, look, we asked Kevin Byard on the show. He's been asked countless times during the year, basically, like, what's going on? What do you think of your own play? And Byard is kind of focused on, didn't have the picks, but it's much more than that.
Yeah.
He just, he really looked out of sorts at times, just didn't look at all like one of the best safeties in the NFL for a lot of the year. I give him a C-. I think you could make a case for a lower grade because, again, we're grading on a curve, and this is relative to what we expect from him. Expecting him to be one of the top 2, 3, 4 safeties in the NFL. You could make a case that C- is being too nice, but, you know, he still made a lot of plays this year. Just, and, you know, he had a few really important, I think of like the win at Baltimore. He had a really big play in coverage, but man, he also got beat a lot in the red zone. And that was something we weren't used to seeing.
It was. And because of that, based on the expectations, I've got to go D. I didn't think it was a very good season for Kevin Byard at all. And the thing that stood out to me is it seemed like he was a step or two late, not only in the pass game, but also on defending the run as well. I mean, how many bad angles did Kevin Byard take this year? How many times did, you know, a ball go down the field in the end zone and Kevin Byard's a step or two late getting there? And the question I've had all season long was, all right, is that Kevin Byard, you know, maybe regressing a little bit, maybe getting a step slower, or is that the defensive operation as a whole? And maybe he's thinking about too much out there. Maybe he's being asked to do too much out there. I don't know what the answer to that question is, but it did seem like time and time again this year, Kevin Byard was a step or two too slow in getting to a spot, both in the passing game and in the running game. And I haven't seen that from Kevin Byard in his career. Again, he's 27. So it's hard for me to believe that all of a sudden he's just lost a step at 27 years old. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but 27 is still relatively young. Like, you should be in the prime of your career at 27 in the NFL, playing at the level that he's played at. So I don't know that I'm comfortable saying he's just lost a step. So then that begs the question, what happened to Kevin Byard this year? Why did he struggle the way that he struggled? And I think back to what everything was like going on in front of him, the defensive operation. How many times did we bring up the word coordination or communication this year? I have to think all of that factored into what we saw. But with that in mind, based on expectations, I've got to give Kevin Byard a D.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I mean, I think you got to – and I think there's probably some truth in all of it. The transition from P's to a non-coordinator with Shane Bowen basically doing the job, the defense being bad, and that probably, you know, how many times you hear people say, oh, you're trying to do too much, just do your job, and then just Byard himself. Because Byard, this defense is based around, among other things, Byard being great. You know, that's one thing that they've been able to count on in previous years, and he was one of the big reasons that a defense that, again, didn't have a lot of four-man pass rush was deficient or average in some other areas, he was a big part of why those defenses still performed, especially in the red zone. And third down,
yeah.
You know, I mean, all that stuff went down so dramatically this year. So I think that's a fair grade.
The last guy I want to get to in the safeties room is, I think, a very interesting player moving forward, and that is Amani Hooker. Had some good moments this year, had a couple of key interceptions this year. What do you think of Amani Hooker and the way that he played? How would you go about grading him?
Well, first of all, Hooker is kind of like David Long in that, you know, the young guy who now is maybe stepping into a starting role, depending on how the roster goes. And I think, and so that's a lot of the question of that is he ready for that? I thought he had his ups and downs this year, but he's a pretty good three.
Yeah.
And so his expectations, again, the curve for him is way different than it is for a Byard. You know, if I would give Hooker I'd give him a B minus, maybe a C plus. It's so close between there. You know, I'd say he was a little better than average. I'd give him a C plus. This defense is just too bad in the back end to give too many good grades. So C plus, better than average. Still some growth to go, but I think you can look at him and say he might be a good answer, and maybe given a starting role, you know, he can grow into that and improve.
Yeah, I would go B minus. I think Hooker played well for the most part in the role that he was asked to play. Again, it's hard to go too high with these grades on that side of the ball. I mean, outside of maybe Malcolm Butler and a couple other guys, I can't think of many grades I'm giving that are really high for the defensive part of this, and we'll get to more of those coming up later this week. But I do think Amani Hooker, that's going to be an interesting guy to monitor here because, as we've talked about, the Titans could have some decisions to make this offseason. Maybe that comes in the secondary as well. And with that in mind, what Titan is the most likely in the secondary this offseason to find a new home? Who could the Titans move on from that maybe we're not expecting? And which member of the Titans secondary is the most likely to bounce back after a rough season? We'll get to all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be joined coming up here in about 12, 13 minutes by John Glennon from Broadway Sports. So looking forward to that conversation with Mr. Glennon. It's been a while since we've had JG here on the show, so looking forward to that. And Joe, we've talked about the Titans secondary in terms of the grades that we've doled out. We'll get to some more grades tomorrow for the Tennessee Titans. But as you look at the Titans and the secondary, could there be some movement in the offseason? We've heard Corey Curtis from News 2 say maybe an option to save some money is moving on from Kenny Vaccaro. Maybe Amani Hooker is able to come in and ready to come in and take over a starting role for this team. Malcolm Butler, maybe you could move on from him, even though he had a really good season. Maybe he's a guy that you cut the losses from a salary standpoint, and try to do some different things there, maybe elevate Christian Fulton. As you look at this secondary, do you think the Titans could make some moves this offseason? And if so, who do you think might be the most likely casualty of that for the Titans in the secondary?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, look, I've at The Athletic, I've got something today, actually, but we're all going into the, you know, anybody who writes about the NFL at all is looking obviously at free agency. Shields got his top 50 list. So I did a Titans wish list. And the thing is about all that is that you got to have money. And even if the cap goes up to 180, 181 or whatever is, you know, a few million more than the initial projection, 175. I mean, you've got to shed salary somewhere. And a lot of different places that could happen. We don't know. I mean, there's obviously it's this huge puzzle and it's okay. Do you keep Corey Davis and how much are you paying him?
Right.
Do you keep Jonnu Smith? Do you keep Jayon Brown? Then also, what about Emma Humphries? But I think you have to look at the secondary. We talked about Amani Hooker. Kenny Vaccaro would save you, I believe, $5 million. So that's, you know, that's a savings. Now, it's not as much as Malcolm Butler, and that's where it really gets interesting. Is the I guess I would be surprised. Certainly, I will tell you right now. I will guarantee you that Malcolm Butler, Desmond King, and Kenny Vaccaro aren't all here next year.
Okay.
I mean, I don't see how the numbers could possibly work. Again, when you drafted Christian Fulton in the second round, you did that because you have to have prominent starters who are cheap. Not making a lot of money. I mean, you have to. And I think the Titans certainly could draft another corner this year. So with that in mind, and they could draft a safety too, I suppose. But, you know, with that in mind, I mean, you know, Butler's deal is, you know, you're talking two more years left on a five-year $61.2 million deal. So you're talking more than double what Vaccaro is making.
Sure, but the trouble with him is, I mean, he was probably your best player on defense this year. So do you really want to move on from that? Now, we've seen, you know, John Robinson not afraid to move on from players maybe a year too early. We talked about Jarrell Casey and how nobody expected that last offseason. Could that happen again? I think absolutely it could happen again in this conversation, and maybe Malcolm Butler is the guy it happens to. But that's the tough part if you're the Titans. I totally get it from, you know, trying to save money in that standpoint. He's also probably your best player on defense this year, and you didn't have a whole lot of players out there that played well to begin with. So that's the tough part if Malcolm Butler ends up being that guy.
And Vaccaro is at six, by the way. He signed a 4-for-24 deal. And that's the thing. So we're talking about this stuff too. Oh, get rid of this salary, get rid of that salary. You also don't want to leave yourself with zero depth.
Right.
You know, it's like you just assume this will be the secondary all year. As we know, that's very unlikely. So do you have enough depth at corner? Like even a Chris Jackson, do you feel good about him as a four? I mean, you've got some other guys, Ty Smith, and things like that, guys like that on the roster. But I guess the question is, what do you feel better about if you – if you had a corner group of, you know, Fulton, Adoree, and King with Vaccaro and Byard, or do you prefer a Butler, Fulton, Adoree with those two, or do you need to move both? You know, do you go, you know, is it even possible to think of no Butler or King at the corner spot? That's hard to imagine, but obviously King, they have to, and he's a free agent, so they have they'd have to do a new deal with King, and they may lose him anyway. But is it possible that they could sit there with Adoree, Fulton, and someone they draft?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. But the other part of this that's interesting to me, like Adoree Jackson's going to be back next year. He's going to be a part of this secondary. They've picked up the option. But what does his future look like beyond that? I mean, that's a question I think if you're John Robinson, you've got to start thinking about, because at the price he's going to be next year, if he comes out and has his moments where he looks really good, but also has his moments like he had this year where he can't tackle anybody, coverage was a struggle, like if he's up and down again next year, what do you do with Adoree Jackson? Do you have to move on at that point? I mean, they're not going to move on this offseason, but that's going to be an interesting part of this too is – all right, how does John Robinson feel about Adoree Jackson? How does that affect what they do maybe in this draft as well?
Right, because I was just going to say that's another reason you draft a corner this year, because that may be, and it may be like, hey, Butler is too good, Butler battles, and you know what? He's got to be out there. So for the next 2 years, because he's under contract for the next 2 years, and that may be how the Titans look at it, in which case I think Desmond King is, you know, free to go elsewhere. And again, like you asked earlier, where do you feel best about Christian Fulton's long-term future in this league, outside or in the slot? Ideally, you have guys who can play both and you can move people around. But I think with him, you got to focus in on that and make him as good as possible at whatever position, you know, that he's going to play primarily. So it's an interesting puzzle. And if you do, I mean, you have other guys, you got Josh Kalu.
Yeah.
You got Dane Cruikshank. So do you feel a little better about moving on from Vaccaro and going with Hooker, Byard, and having that depth? Maybe. I think Vaccaro, as you said, I think he's been one of the really good signings, and you're talking about an in-camp signing when Jonathan Cyprien got hurt, and it turned out to be an absolute upgrade. I think he was great in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Again, if you can get Mike Vrabel talking about your individual performance, you know you've done something special, and that's what happened after the New England win last year. And I still think he's got good football in him. $6 million a year, is it? You know, I don't know. That's a really interesting one. That's a tough one. I didn't initially even think about Vaccaro.
Yeah.
But you have to think about it because there is some depth there. We didn't really get to see Cruikshank. He seems like more of just a special teams guy. You know, he's a good athlete. Because that's the thing. Now, if you get hurt and you're sitting there with Byard and Hooker, you could really be in trouble if you don't draft someone there. And you can't draft every position.
Right. I mean, there's only so many draft picks that you're going to be able to have. So as we've gone through the secondary here, we've talked about Vaccaro, Butler. I think it's safe to say the secondary in some form is going to look different next year. But there also will be players returning. Adoree Jackson's probably going to be back. We'll see what happens with Malcolm Butler. Kevin Byard will be back. Who do you think is the most likely member of the secondary to bounce back after a tough year, and how much of that depends on what they do in front of them on the pass rush side of things?
Well, it depends a lot, but there's two. I mean, look, I think Kevin Byard, knowing him and how he goes about his business, he knows what happened this year, and he knows what people are saying.
Yep.
So I would definitely not count him out from having a big rebound season. But I also think with Adoree Jackson, because I think you're right that Adoree may be another sort of casualty of, okay, you've gotten to a certain point, we got to go younger now. But Adoree Jackson also is one of those guys who can run with receivers in this league that, like, not a lot of guys can. I think Adoree Jackson, based on what we saw in 2019, I think if he has a good, healthy offseason, he could have a big bounce-back year, too.
Yeah, and those are the two that I came up with, and they're going to need it. I think not only from one, I think they're going to need bounce-backs from both. Adoree's big thing is staying healthy. Like, you've got to find a way to stay healthy, get on the field from the start of training camp, and stay out there. And maybe he looks like a totally different guy once he's gone through an offseason where he's healthy and a training camp where he's healthy than he did at times this year. Because, quite frankly, when he came back, I was very unimpressed by what I saw from Adoree Jackson. So that's got to get better. Which one do I have more confidence in getting better? I would say Kevin Byard.
Yeah.
Like, I still think Adoree Jackson, as good as he was in 2019, I think he's a very up-and-down player, and that scares me about him. I think he's wildly inconsistent with his game. He's got all the physical tools in the world, but I've always felt like there's another level that Adoree Jackson needs to reach, and he's not done that yet on a consistent basis. I have confidence that Kevin Byard will be playing at a higher level next year, regardless of what the defense looks like in front of him. But you've got to find some pieces, as we talked about yesterday, to help them out on the pass rush side of things. Because if you don't, you can be as good as you want to be in the secondary, and if you can't get to the quarterback, it doesn't really matter. People are going to get open, and the quarterbacks are going to find the receivers around the league. So that's John Robinson's number one task for this defense this offseason. But if I had to guess one guy that I have the most confidence in to rebound, it would be Kevin Byard, just based on the type of player that he's been. I don't believe that he's just magically lost all of his skill and lost all of his speed at 27. So we'll see what happens on that front, and we'll see what John Robinson does this offseason. I mean, there's a lot of fascinating parts about this team and decisions that he's going to have to make, and maybe the secondary is a part of that as well. So going to be fascinating to see it on that front.
Yeah, I think with Adoree, if you could give Adoree Malcolm Butler's approach and mindset,
yeah,
or if you could give Butler Adoree's speed, you'd have a superstar.
Yeah, I agree.
Superstar. Did I say a pickup line at the beginning of this segment?
No, go ahead. You got to keep the tradition alive.
So the problem
now
is,
now you're not prepared.
Is what? Okay, that one, there's some really, boy, you got
a little
really
vulgar. You can't just go read.
How about this one? Are you a raisin? Because you're raising my hopes for a kiss right about
now.
Oh,
yeah.
That's dad joking.
Boo.
Not dirty.
That's not very
hey,
good.
I'm trying to. The dirty one's like a minefield over here.
Porth over here booing, and his has been the worst one of them all. And it worked, though. Good for you.
Hey.
Dad joke guy.
I have zero shame.
Look, we've known that. We've known that for a while with Ryan Porth. When we come back, we'll be joined by our man John Glennon from Broadway Sports. We'll get into the Titans and the Predators with him. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend John Glennon from Broadway Sports. John, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, thanks for coming on with us. And let's start with the Super Bowl. Tom Brady wins his seventh Super Bowl title. We asked this question yesterday, John, but I want to get your thoughts on it. Is Tom Brady the greatest team sports athlete of all time? Has he surpassed the Michael Jordans and the Wayne Gretzky's and the Bill Russells of the world?
I would find it hard to think of a guy who has done what Tom Brady did last year at that age. So maybe, you know, if you try to lump all those guys together, you know, maybe that's the difference maker for Tom Brady. I think what he did, this year, however you want to phrase it, I think that kind of sets him apart too, because, you know, for so long a time, he was, you know, with Bill Belichick, with those very good all-around New England Patriots teams. Now, when you come to a team that has not much of a track record whatsoever, of winning big games and winning regularly in the playoffs, and he leads them to a Super Bowl, you know, that's a pretty good argument for Tom Brady right there.
Okay, I'm gonna invoke Mike Vrabel. Johnny, you're better than that. I expected you to stick with your hockey roots on this.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'm coming right on the attack, John. And by the way, he joined a fantastic roster. Can we agree on that? That the D-line was the story of this team?
He did. I agree with that. But, honestly, I thought, it had changed a good bit better, this year. And honestly, it really hadn't changed a ton as much as I thought it had since last year. You know, there was a pretty decent cast around, Jameis Winston as well. So, the more I looked at it, the more I think Tom Brady did make, a huge difference on that Tampa Bay team.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, he makes a huge difference from 30 picks Jameis Winston. No one's arguing that. All right, that's fine. I'll accept your answer. I think it is an interesting debate. We have had another debate, John, about the Titans' secondary today, sort of, because there's just so many different pieces, moving parts. We don't know with the draft what might happen. But if you were guessing right now, what would be your five guys who are starting the secondary next year for the Titans? Because obviously they could move on from Vaccaro. They could even do the preemptive move on from Butler. They could sign or not sign Desmond King. How do you think that all shakes out?
Yeah, a tough call, certainly, because, Butler was your best guy back there last year, but you have to be tempted, especially with the salary cap going down, by the fact that, if you cut Malcolm Butler, that's $10 million in cap space that you get. So, I think they will, I honestly don't see them cutting Malcolm Butler. I see them maybe, trying to restructure that contract. So if I had to guess at this point, I'm looking at maybe four out of the five top DBs coming back, with maybe Vaccaro being that guy that becomes a cap casualty. I don't think he was as good last year as he had been in the past. I think Amani Hooker took some big strides moving forward, and as a defensive back, it's tough to move on from Butler, as I say, after he had such a good year comparatively with the rest of this team. So, if you're looking at Butler, Jackson, and Fulton, perhaps as your top three, it would be great to have Desmond King back, but again, in a tricky cap situation, I'm not sure that's going to be the case.
John Glennon from Broadway Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, we spent a lot of time talking about Kevin Byard, and obviously an all-pro level safety, did not have the season last year that we've grown accustomed to seeing with Kevin Byard, and it's got people wondering how much of it is the lack of pass rush, how much of it is the coordination from the Titans defensively, how much of it is maybe Kevin Byard regressing as a player. Of those three options, what do you think was the biggest reason for Kevin Byard and the struggles that he had?
Part of it was a little bit of regression. Whether you can point to a new defensive play caller or a lack of pass rush. I think that's part of it also. But he just didn't look to be in the same positions that he was in, in past years. Kevin Byard was always that guy that if there was an overthrow, if there was a tip, Kevin Byard was the man constantly in position to get his hands
on the football. But, you know, so many times we heard Kevin Byard talk about that lack of communication, and it sounded as if like a lack of coordination, chemistry on the back. You just have to wonder, it was almost like a sort of a plea for help, I felt at times. And you just got the sense that things weren't the same for Kevin Byard or for that defense. And again, you know, you go back to that transition. Was it, you know, Shane Bowen filling in for Dean Pease? You know, it's hard to say exactly, but I just didn't get the sense that Kevin Byard was the same confident player either in himself or in that system that we had seen before. And as a result, just not in the positions that we had seen from Kevin Byard. And you know, I think one other factor, too, is that defense, that secondary struggled so much. I feel like at times Kevin Byard was trying to do too many things. And when you try to do too much, often, you know, it backfires. And I think that was part of the case for Kevin Byard as well.
And, of course, with all of it, you either have pass rush and help those guys, or they're probably not going to be very good. And so, obviously, that's priority one here for the Titans, John. I've got free agency on the mind. There's a lot of guys out there they can go after. There's also a lot of guys in the draft who might be available at 22. If you were John Robinson right now, who are you targeting among these free agents right now, and how are you looking at it? You're looking at, like, trying to get two guys, trying to get an edge guy and maybe a defensive lineman? Like, what do you think is the ideal sort of, you know, formula here between free agency and draft?
I would say yes to as many guys as you can, whether it's the free agency, whether it's draft. You know, I don't think it's a situation where they're you know, one rusher or one defensive lineman away from, you know, really making things better. So, you know, when I look at the edge guys, you know, they're going to be some huge money guys. You know, I don't know if that's going to work for the Titans, you know, that there are teams that are going to be able to spend more money than the Titans are. You know, as has been often mentioned by one of my comrades at Broadway Sports, I think Carl Lawson, you know, is a guy who is a very good fit. I think, you know, maybe guys that are a little bit under the radar because they haven't had consistent good numbers over the years, but really kind of exploded last year. Trey Hendrickson, you know, from the Saints is a good one. I think Hassan Reddick, who all of a sudden started playing outside linebacker last year for the first time and had about 12 or 13 sacks, I think he would be an excellent fit too. Romeo Okwara is a guy that wouldn't cost a ton of money from the Lions. I think, you know, he's a possibility also. You know, and then there are the bigger money guys, as I say, you know, whether it's that's a, you know, a Matthew Judon or Yannick Ngakoue, players along those lines. It depends on how much cash you can spend. But yeah, I think in the draft too, you know, they're probably going to have four picks in those first three rounds, and if you get you know, an edge rusher in the first or second round, I think you're in good shape. And if you move on from Daquan Jones, you're also going to need another monster guy in the middle there. So I think that's on the docket pretty early for the Titans in the draft as well.
John Glennon from Broadway Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, switching gears to the Nashville Predators, it's been a rough go lately. They've lost four of the last five. Offensively, it has not gone well for them, especially 5-on-5 in the last couple of games. What are you seeing right now from the Predators, and how concerned should you be if you're a Predators fan at this point?
I'd be concerned. No doubt about it. You know, and I thought, honestly, the you know, Preds captain Roman Josi was kind of refreshingly honest last night. You know, it's not a good thing, but, you know, he said it's like we're playing on our heels for the first two periods. Feels like we're playing, but not playing to win. And, you know, and again, he followed that up by saying, I think everybody is playing hard, but I understand his point because there doesn't seem to be that attack mentality that you see in the Predators coming out. It's just kind of that, you know, they're waiting for something to happen instead of making something happen. And that's what, you know, you look at those first two periods, they're being outscored 29-10 in those first two periods. It's tough to win a lot of hockey games, you know, when you're regularly looking at deficits going into the third, and they've been pretty good in the third. But, you know, they're not getting enough scoring from their big guns. When you're giving up about 1.5 almost penalty, or excuse me, power play goals a game. That's going to kill you. And then I think, too, you know, when you're looking at the division right now, it's pretty tough to find teams that you're going to beat consistently. You know, Tampa Bay and Dallas, your Stanley Cup finalists from last year, you know, they're 0-5 already there. Carolina looks like a very good team. Florida looks like they're even better than people thought. So if you're the Preds and you're looking for a top four finish, you're looking for teams right now that you can beat on a regular basis. And you know, maybe it's Detroit and Chicago, maybe Columbus. But it's a pretty tough haul to climb up that ladder right now.
Yeah, no, it's not looking great right now for the Preds early on here. So, John, big question here for you to wrap it up here. Your best pickup line, which I assume you delivered while wearing parachute pants in 1985.
My best pickup line, boy, what to say here? Did not know this was coming. Generally speaking, my best pickup line was said to myself, and it usually was, have another beer before you try to speak. So, I'll go with that.
That's a good policy.
If I had one more ounce or two of liquid courage, it increased my odds greatly.
Well done.
And I did need to increase my odds greatly, by the way.
John Glennon from Broadway Sports continues to be a legend, joining us here on Robbie and Rexha. John, appreciate you taking time to join us, bud.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Absolutely. John Glennon, one of the best in the business. Love that guy.
That's a good pickup line to yourself. Just go back to the bar. Just shut up. Don't talk to anyone.
Don't say a word. Beer. Just go on back and mind your own business. When we come back, the quarterback musical chairs already underway this offseason in the NFL, and it looks like it could continue pretty hot and heavy. There's some high-profile names out there. Where are they all going to land? We'll discuss that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.